The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 1109. It's the 4th of July, 2018. By the way, if you've not tried it, download the free Vox Markets app from voxmarkets.co.uk/app, and basically you follow a company and you will get a notification to the front screen of your smartphone whenever that company releases an update. You can also create multiple watch lists. Okay, on today's podcast, I have Colin Hutchinson, CEO of Ascent Resources, AST, and Colin discusses their recently released operational update. Plus, I also have on Melissa Sturgis, co-founder and executive director of Ananda Developments, ANA, on the Next Exchange, which you can now follow on Vox Markets. Companies on Next are being migrated slowly onto the platform, so just do a search as you would any other company and hit the follow button. Anyway, Melissa talks about the company which floated on the Next Exchange today and explains their investment strategy, which is to invest in a developing market for medicinal or therapeutic cannabis derivatives or related products. Plus, I also have on John Mayer, mining analyst and partner SP Angel, talking about the following companies: Kodal Minerals, KOD, Anglo Asian Mining, AAZ, and Bushveld Minerals, BMN. Plus, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Colin Hutchinson, CEO of Ascent Resources, AST. Colin, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Justin. It's great to be back on.
Now, you had an operational update yesterday. We'll go through the final detail of that in a bit. Before we do, Colin, like every podcast you come on, people listening right now who are not familiar with the company, how would you summarise Ascent Resources for them?
Just Ascent Resources, we're a reinvested oil and gas exploration production company. Our asset is the Petišovci field in northeastern Slovenia, of which we own 75%. We brought the field into production last year, and we've got two wells currently producing, and we're selling the gas to INA in Croatia.
Marvellous stuff. Now, you've got to explain, you are on a telephone line because you are en route to a meeting out there. Where are you exactly then, Colin, at the moment?
I'm on the road at the minute between Lendava and Ljubljana, so yeah, I'm sorry, I don't have time to stop and get a decent signal, so hopefully you can hear me okay. We've got some meetings with some government ministers today in Ljubljana.
Cool. Okay, well, let's go through the operational updates. It's broken down into one, two, three, four, five areas there. So first of all, gas sales agreement. Take us through the detail here, if you could, go.
Yeah, the gas sales agreement, I think that's some fairly positive news that we've extended that. It was due to, in November of this year, we've extended it for another 6 months. It takes us out to May of next year. And as part of that, we've agreed that the bank guarantees that are in place have been reduced. So we did have €400,000 that was on deposit or in a restricted deposit account to support the bank guarantee. That's been reduced to €200,000, so that cash will come back into our bank accounts and we can use that if we need to for the project.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, let's get on to the PG-11A well. What's the progress here?
Yeah, PG-11A has been our more problematic. Some difficulty getting it to produce on a consistent basis the water. What happens is the well fills with water and that reduces the flow rate, and we are unable to produce. But that will be production. In June, it produced for around 10 days. The pressure then declines. We shut the well in again for another period, and then we open it up and it flows again. So I think going forward, that's the way we're going to produce the well. We won't be able to get it flowing on a consistent basis the way we have with PG-10, but we can get the well to produce intermittently, so it'll be 10 days or 1 week on and then a period off and then back on again. So we still can get it generating some revenue and generating production, but it won't be the sort of daily producer that PG-10 is.
Yeah, okay, no problem. And let's go through then for June total productions and revenues, if you could, Cole.
So production for the month of June, the daily flow rates were most exactly what we'd done in May. So, and that gas prices are still very strong. So we're generating about 200,000 euros a month in revenues.
Excellent stuff. Okay, let's get on to the permitting side of it. What's happening there?
On the permitting side, we've had feedback from the Environment Agency about the two permit applications that are in the mix. So we've got one, which is the IPPC permit, which we need to build a processing plant to treat the gas and put it into the Slovenian grid. That's been the long-running saga. The Environment Agency came back in June with some amendments that they asked for. We've been compiling those amendments, and we'll submit those later this week. On the other one, on the permit to re-enter and rework DD10 and 11, we've had some queries back from the Environment Agency, and again, we're addressing those, and they'll be submitted at the same time. They'll all go with Friday.
Okay, all right. And it's funny, somebody did say, it's strange how Colin didn't come on the podcast on the day the operational update was announced, as he's normally done in the past. Does this mean there's something happening with the strategic review and that he doesn't want to answer any questions? Strategic review.
Yeah, no, it was just, yesterday was tricky. I was in Budapest yesterday at some meeting, so it was too difficult to get on the podcast in the morning, but try to get on today.
Yeah. So it's funny that everything you say now will be deeply read into. So the fact you're in Budapest, people think, oh, Budapest, eh? So at the moment, you can't say a lot with a strategic review, but it says you are making progress and you will be updating the market in due course. Is that all you can say, pretty much?
Yes, sorry. On Budapest, our geoscience consultants are based in Budapest, which is the reason for visiting there. On the strategic review, there's not an awful lot we're able to say about it, apart from that we're happy with how things are progressing. It's been going on now since the middle of April, so we're nearly 3 months into the process. So I'm hopeful that we can give a meaningful update to shareholders as soon as we're able to, really.
Yeah, and you know, shareholders probably thinking, yes, but how long? How long, Colin? And is this a case of how long is a piece of string?
No, I mean, it's not an indefinite process, and I'm hoping that we're able to sort of give something out meaningful in the not too distant future. I can't give a timeline. I can't say exactly when we're going to be able to do that. You'll appreciate that these things, they take some time. We've had to set up data rooms. Various parties have had to come in and look at the data and have management presentations and have discussions. So it does take time for a company to form a view on the project, and hopefully we're getting somewhere with it.
Marvellous stuff. Well, Colin, if someone's listening to this and likes the sound of what you're talking about but are not following the story, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
The three quick reasons are, I mean, we've got a significant stake, 75% stake in what is a big gas project in Slovenia. There's a lot of gas in the ground. We're already producing that gas successfully, and a lot of room to grow. And hopefully the strategic review will unlock the best way to take the project forward.
Marvellous stuff. Colin, I hope you have a good set of meetings today, and hopefully we'll chat in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Melissa Sturgis, co-founder of Ananda Developments. ANA is a ticker there. It's on the Next Exchange, which is now available on Vox Markets. You can follow the company via Vox. Melissa, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin. Nice to chat to you.
Now, I sort of know a little bit about this because I've been following this story of medical cannabis and developments around the world and now coming to this country for a while. And I've got to say, I did take, via the Tellers app, I did take a little bit of an investment in your company just because I know it's a very hot sector. And my previous experiences investing is you've got to get in early on hot sectors and you can have the potential to see some major re-rates in evaluations. So before we start, though, explain, Melissa, most people probably guess now it's about medical cannabis and that kind of area, but what is Ananda Development specifically about?
Justin, I think you've hit the nail on the head that it's a new and it's an exciting space, and it's not a space that UK investors have really had an opportunity to look at and make investments in. And that's probably the driving force for us has been we've seen a boom in medicinal cannabis stocks and interest in the space in Canada and Australia. And the UK has been lagging in the legalities around medicinal cannabis. And I think that is starting to change a little bit faster than we all expected. And so really it's our intention to provide UK-based investors a platform to invest in things that via us into situations where we think there's huge potential in medicinal cannabis.
Yeah, and there is. I mean, do you know what? A while back I tweeted a sort of petition out, and it's about Billy Colwell. If people don't know about Billy, he has several strokes a day, I think, doesn't he? And unless he has sort of cannabis oil. He's wrecked by them. He can't do anything. He can't live his life. He has no quality of life, or very little quality of life, without medical or cannabis oil. And recently, his mother came in from a different country with this cannabis oil, and it was taken off him at customs. And literally, almost within minutes, he started having strokes and seizures. And his mother's petitioned everyone, saying, "Listen, this it's a medicine. It's not about just smoking joints and stuff. It's a medicine. It's used around the world, and it relieves." A lot of people, millions of people, and so they're saying that the Britain's a bit backward. And I think, didn't Sajid Javid come out? It was returned to him, the medicine was returned to him, which is, of course, essentially breaking our law. But that says something, that our law is broken, not that they're breaking the law. And so, didn't Sajid Javid say that something that they're going to review this quickly or something?
Well, that seems to be the move that's happening. You know, the talk in the sector, in the industry and in government was that this might take quite a few years, but I sense that things are moving a little bit faster, and I think the Billy Caldwell case has sort of inspired a lot of people to pay more attention and to put up their hand and say, yeah, we actually recognise that medicinal cannabis has massive benefits to people suffering Crohn's disease, suffering pain, suffering arthritis, and suffering epileptic fits like this young boy, and Alfie Dingle as well, suffering the same sorts of things. So I think from a timing perspective, we're certainly seeing this space becoming increasingly hot on the radar of investors. And at the moment in the UK, there's really nowhere to go. If you want to make investments and want to follow the industry, and you believe that it is going to be a growth industry and a substantial industry in the future, we are providing investors a platform to get exposure to the space.
Yeah, and at the moment, of course, because you're listing sort of today, you obviously can't take part in investments, but I assume you're quite advanced in looking at certain projects, are you? And where are they based?
Yes, Justin, look, we started looking at this space sort of the middle of last year, and that's when I started to think this could be really interesting and we should try and do something. Obviously, because of the legal issues in the UK, we took a lot of time, we took a lot of care, we've been very diligent, we've taken a lot of legal advice to make sure that what we do is going to comply with all of the relevant laws in the UK, and that's as a starter. We are looking specifically at the moment at Israel, the Netherlands and Canada, because they are three countries in which the use of medicinal cannabis is legal. So that we have been looking at quite a few opportunities over the last 4 or 5 months. Once we are up and quoted, which is tomorrow morning at about 8 o'clock, I think, on the next exchange, we will then get onto those projects in earnest. And we're pretty confident we will bring shareholders some interesting news in the near future.
Yeah, and so how much are you looking to raise at the moment? And you call it a small cap, aren't you?
Yeah, look, the idea was to create the quoted platform with a small amount of of cash. So we initially set out just to raise £750,000. We had put in about 240,000 pounds ourselves as seed capital to put all the paperwork together and get all the legal opinions. So we went out to raise £750,000 with Peter House, who do all of our small cap work with us. And we had quite a lot of interest. So actually, when we list tomorrow, the capital raising closed in the end at about £930,000. So we did get more than we expected, which obviously is fantastic. We expect to use those funds to potentially make some initial small investments, certainly do some DD, and then when we come to make more significant investments, we will look to raise larger amounts of capital going forward. But certainly there is no shortage of interesting ideas for us to look at in specific medicinal / pharmaceutical type ideas, and also interestingly in the sort of vaping and how do you get the cannabis into your body, sort of the delivery systems as well. We're finding those areas really quite interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm assuming that because it's, you know, opening up in the UK, and it has, like you say, in other parts of the world, and I assume other countries are looking at their legislation too on this?
Yes, I think so. Look, everywhere. Canada opened up recreationally last week. So, you know, the curve is quite steep. It really is quite steep. And the projections around medicinal cannabis are pretty staggering. I think we'll see more of the big pharma companies getting into the space. I think we'll certainly see things moving afoot here. I mean, every day in the news now in the UK, we're seeing something on medicinal cannabis and its benefits, and the fact that really the Tories need to start moving in the direction of changing legislation and making medicinal cannabis something that's far more acceptable and accepted and legally accessible to people who need it.
Yeah, I think it's quite telling that Imperial Brands, of course, a massive company, invested in a medical cannabis startup recently. That's quite telling, isn't it?
Yes, it absolutely is. And every time I go to another conference on cannabis and medicinal cannabis, you see more and more of the big players moving into the space. So I think it's a matter of time. You know, it used to be something where the conferences were sort of attended by sort of people from the sector who were looking at more recreational and the more sort of folksy aspects of medicinal cannabis. But I think now it's becoming very mainstream and we're seeing the suits getting into the space. So sort of referring back to your initial comment, I think we all agree that getting in on the ground floor here in the UK is something that's really quite exciting for all of us. And that's really why we chose it. You know, my background is a lot of metals and mining and more recently building materials and, you know, just looking at what was going on last year, I thought this is really something we should be having a look at. It provides an opportunity for investors, but it also provides a platform for people who are doing some really interesting things who need access to capital. So it really is, you know, it's a two-pronged approach.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, Melissa, if someone's listening to this and likes the sound of the sector, and you in particular and your company, but obviously are not following the story because you're brand newly listed, I give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add you to their watch list, please.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. Look, it's an exciting space. This is an exciting company because we're here to do deals. And I think thirdly, the fact is because we're quite well networked in the space already, we will see deal flow coming fairly quickly.
Marvellous stuff. Melissa, good to chat to you. And like I say, lots of deal flow happening. So hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
We will do. Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is mining analyst and partner at SP Angelus, John May. All right, John.
Yes, good form. Thank you.
Now, last week you were just about to do a conference before we chatted. How did that go? Was it all right?
Yes, that was good. That was hosted by the former chief executive of Rio Tinto, Tom Albanese, and a very good lineup of speakers. So I hope the audience appreciated the time and effort that goes in, especially by the some of the consultants who were there who were giving extremely good information to the market.
Yeah. And what extremely good information did you give?
I was talking on technology in the mining sector and how that is working to increase margins of certainly the major companies, and how I think that's also coming into to help operations for small and medium-sized companies as well.
Yeah, cool. And specifically, were you chatting about, was there, what was the hot sort of commodity chat?
Well, I mean, hot commodity is lithium, and copper is always hot in my mind. And these are areas where there has been improvement. But the really big improvement's been in iron ore, where the processing of better quality iron ore and also the sort of automated transportation has served to halve costs for the world's major mining companies, reducing operating costs from $40 a ton to under $20 a ton in many cases, and giving them multi-billion-dollar earnings as a result.
Mm-hmm. I see. All right, well, let's get on to some specific news, John. What's happening out there?
Well, we see today news out of Birimian Limited, the Australian lithium company that's got an operation in Mali. They're looking to develop the Galima mine. It's right next door to Kodal Minerals, which is why it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And they've continued to develop and delineate the reserve and the resource. And they've put together and announced this morning the results of the pre-feasibility study, where the capital cost is just under $150 million. But the big news here is that the pre-tax IRR, the internal rate of return, is 50%, and that's an industry eye-catching number on a project of what is good scale.
Absolutely, yes. And I've just seen the figures, you've alerted me to them, and yeah, quite impressive, aren't they? And of course, they're a little bit more advanced than Kodal, because Kodal are yet to come out with a definitive resource or the resource definition, I mean, but they're doing that over the summer, and then I suppose you can extrapolate a certain amount of detail from that, can't you, before they go into the scoping study or pre-economic assessment. But is there any way of telling how this stacks up against their project? I mean, are they similar size, strike length, or what's the deal there?
Well, we don't have the resource numbers out of Kodal yet, because they are two 3 years behind Birimian. Mm. But these pre-feasibility study numbers indicate to us that Kodal should follow a very similar path. And the fact that the IRR is up at 50% is very, very good news. It's possible there might be a bit of erosion in the numbers from the pre-feasibility study through to a bankable and definitive studies, but I think this gives us a template that Kodal can effectively carbon copy at some point.
Yeah. So total net cash flow post tax is $1.7 billion Australian dollars. Yeah, and do you know what, like I said, it's $920 million NPV10, and I was looking at Birimian's sort of share price, a market cap. I mean, it's around about $125 million Aussie. Convert that over to sterling, that's about 70 million. And if you look at Kodal's market cap, of course, it's only 10 million, so they're seven times as big as Kodal. Of course, that value will grow as they go through that development curve from having a resource, then going to a scoping study, all that stuff, won't it?
Yep, no, that's the way it's going, and it looks good. I mean, it's a very impressive study. It's not their first study done by the Birimian, and so there have been a certain amount of optimization and an extra thought that's gone into this, mm-hmm. And the resource has got bigger. So this shows what Kodal needs to achieve, and from what I've heard from Kodal in the past, they expect their resource to actually, if anything, have a slightly better grade and be slightly better quality. And don't forget, they are backed by a Chinese group, Sui Chin, who are very keen to start production ASAP.
Yeah, cool. Wow, it's looking good. All right, I mean, at the moment, we are going summer months and, stocks. I think it's a bit of a market maker sort of jiggery-pokery as well, because there's not a lot of volume, but the shares are getting marked down. And I'm thinking, well, hang on, there's no volume. Why are you marking them down? And I suppose that's what happens over summer, I suppose, isn't it?
Who knows how people trade these things, but if anything, today ought to be a good day for Kodal Minerals.
Yeah, cool. Marvellous. All right, John, anything else you're looking at?
Well, looking at Anglo-Asian Mining, we had their AGM on Friday where the board came over, and they are a very smart bunch of guys. They are looking to start to pay a dividend. That will be good news. They've got to seek approval from shareholders and from the court in Azerbaijan. They need to cancel the share premium account on the balance sheet in order to allow for distributable reserves. And as soon as they've done that, I think they'll be announcing a nice dividend payment. And certainly on our numbers, the net cash is improving quite fast. Because it's highly cash generative. They've been very good at holding back their costs. They've got good gold production at about 60 to 70,000 ounces, with 70,000 ounces expected this year, about 2,500 tons of copper to come through. And on an EV EBITDA multiple, it's down at two. So this looks like a strong stock to get on board with.
Yeah, okay, cool. Good day. And yeah, a lot of people wondering what's happening there. But anything else you are specifically looking at? Has news out? Anything, John?
Well, I think it's worth just touching on Bushveld Minerals, mm-hmm. where we expect extraordinarily strong cash flow generation this year. They're on target to produce about $150 million of free cash flow at the Vametco project, and they own 59% of that. So that's very good news, and that's on the assumption that vanadium prices stay up where they are. But those prices have been extraordinarily resilient so far this year. So, and in fact, if anything, the South African rand has pulled back, which is helpful to earnings. So we are looking for this strong cash flow generation, and at some point when they've sorted out the structure a little bit more, hopefully dividends will start to flow through from them as well. But I think the one thing we might watch out for is the Department of Mines in South Africa still needs to make an announcement on what they're going to do with their black economic empowerment. So it may well be that they raise the economic empowerment ratio to 30% in the short term. So look out for that. But in the meantime, I think we're going to see very strong cash flow generation. They might not announce that till September. In the interim statement, but that's something to watch for.
Mm-hmm, marvellous stuff. Okay, and it's been a fantastic sort of riser here, isn't it, on the old chart? This time being Bushveld, and yeah, look at that. It's got that 24 pence though, previous top in the chart. Be interesting to see if it breaks through that, because obviously that will provide a bit of a resistance short term. But if it does break through that, then who knows where it could go. But interesting to watch. Marvellous stuff, John. Thanks for that, fella. And we'll speak next week.
Look forward to next week. Thank you.
Okay, top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours are as follows. XPD, that's Expediator. At four, Marks & Spencer Group, MKS. At three, it's KR1, which is, of course, on the next exchange, which you can now follow on Vox Markets. At two, UK Oil and Gas, which is UCOG. And number one most followed company over the last 24 hours is PCGE, or PCG Entertainment. All right, top five most liked RNSs came from the following companies. At five, Prospect Oil and Gas, result of AGM. At four, Highlands Natural Resources, notice of results and shareholder call. At three, Prospect Oil and Gas, director shareholding. At two, Greatland Gold, Havarian drill results. And at one, it's a quarterly production summary and operations update, of course, and that's from Vast Resources, VAST. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.